been talking about Jesus taught in parables, and he was trying to teach the people he was talking to something about the kingdom. And so he's doing the same today, but before we get into chapter 25, we have two parables in chapter 25, and then after that he talks about the final judgment. But look at chapter 26, verse 2. You know that after 2 days is the Passover, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified. Well, this is the time frame. This is how close it is. And then look at verse 16. And verse 14, then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priest and said, "What are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you?" And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver. So from that time on, he sought opportunity to betray him, Jesus. So I just wanted to mention the time frame. We're right. I think this is possibly Tuesday before the Friday. And so here Jesus is still talking about the kingdom, trying to, right up to the very end, he's teaching and trying to let them know about the kingdom. Okay, so chapter 25. So Jesus says, "Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom." So Jesus is going to emphasize the lesson here of watchfulness. I don't know if y'all know anything about the Oriental weddings, but they began with a feast at the bride's father's house, and then there was a big procession, and then they went to the bride's house. And this procession was at night, and obviously they would not have street lamps, so that's why we have these lamps that Jesus is using in his parable. Pat, would you read verse 2 through 13?
"Five of them were foolish and five were prudent. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the prudent took oil in flasks along with their lamps. Now, while the bridegroom was delaying, they got drowsy and began to sleep. But at midnight there was a shout, 'Behold, the bridegroom, come out to meet him.' Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the prudent, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the prudent answered, 'There will not be enough for us and you too. Go instead to the dealers and buy some for yourselves.' And while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. Later, the other virgins also came, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open up for us.' But he answered, 'Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Be on your alert then, for you do not know the day nor the hour.'"
Okay. Some versions add, "in which the Son of Man is coming." So, verse 2 through 4, Jesus tells us right away that there were five wise and there were five foolish. The foolish showed their folly, which is lack of good sense and judgment, and failing to provide for those delayed. Now, in these lamps that they had, the oil would only burn so long. So, five of them came prepared and five of them didn't, because they brought it. Five brought extra oil and five didn't. So in verse 5 we see that they fall asleep because the bridegroom was delayed. Question 1 I ask you, what concept does possessing oil illustrate?
Fear.
Preparation.
Preparation. And I think the application we can make to this is being spiritually prepared. We think about them having oil and not having oil, but what spiritual preparations are we making for the coming of the Lord? And so then what concept does not possessing oil illustrate?
Lack of preparation.
The opposite. Being unprepared for Christ's return. And then in 6-8, the signal call aroused all 10, and each group of 5 prepared by trimming their lamps. But then became apparent the difference between the 2 groups. All had made some preparation, but the foolish, whatever they did, it was insufficient. Any comments up to this point? Okay, we learn in verse 9, if we are not ready when Jesus returns on the day of judgment, in the analogy of borrowing the oil, we're not going to be able to borrow righteousness or anything we haven't prepared for when the judgment day comes. When they wanted to buy more oil, it was too late. By the time they went and bought the oil and came back, the door was shut. When the Lord comes, it will be too late if we're not prepared. In verse 10, the feast in the bridegroom's house was considered the most important part of the marriage. Think about how much joy if you're going to someone's wedding today. You want to be part of that. You want, if you're able, you want to see the whole thing. You want to see the ceremony. You want to see what comes after. And then when the door was shut, they were not able to take part in the joy. Question 3. What did you learn from the wise virgins?
Not to procrastinate. You should always be ready.
Not to procrastinate. Preparing means to always be ready. We know that in life things are going to come up, and so we need to make allowances for that. And of course, there's going to be times where there's things that are beyond our control. What else?
Be ready for the unexpected.
Mm-hmm. What did you learn from the foolish virgins?
They were not prepared. They didn't think ahead. They didn't think ahead what might happen so that they would have enough oil rather than not having enough.
Okay. Anybody else?
I guess it's like when you're preparing for a wedding and you cater for maybe say 50 people and 100 turn up. You're not prepared for the access, for the exit. I remember that during my wedding, I invited 100 and 150 turned up. Lucky for all West Indians, even food. So it was okay, but I mean, I had people that I didn't even know. So I can see that analogy with this.
Verse 11 and 12, Jesus said, I do not know you. When the other virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord, open the door. But he answered and said, assuredly I say to you, I do not know you. What is Jesus going to say to us if we're not prepared on Judgment Day? Is he going to say, I don't know you? So in verse 13, Jesus makes his own application. He says, watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. We always need to be watchful. And that's the preparation that we're talking about.
Now in chapter 24, Sandra, of course, he's talking to the disciples as they gather on Mount.
of Olive's, and he's talking to them, and I don't think he's left talking about their mission, talking about the kingdom, that they will have the message to bring people into the kingdom, the rule of Christ in their heart. And in verse 12, 24, it says, many's love will wax cold. And verse 13, he says, one who endures to the end will be saved. I think it particularly would have to do with the apostles because of the work that they were going to do. Jesus is talking to them. It's somewhere, however you count the time, 30 to 33 AD, he's speaking. The end of the age, he says, some of this generation will not pass away. He's talking about destruction in Jerusalem, chapter 24, and forward. And so these apostles, at the time that they are sent out at his ascension to the destruction of Jerusalem, they're going to go through, they're going to have all these things happen to them, and he says they're going to happen to them, persecutions, and the Christians too, but the apostles are going to do this, and he's saying, be on the alert, watch, don't pay attention when someone says the false Christ is coming, don't give up, my word is right, keep on watching, be on the alert, I'm going to come in judgment. He said, be prepared. And I don't know if in 24:42, he does say that. Be on the alert, keep watching, be ready, verse 44. And then I'll read verse 44, but it says true there. He said, for this reason, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour when you do not think. So he's talking that, he said, you be ready. He just talked about the master of the house, watching, and so that he won't be tied up and the thief is going to come. And so take care and use what you have, to fight off the devil and these things that are going to happen to you. And I don't know if then he follows, to tell you the truth, this parable about the virgins, if that's not just another way of telling them to be wise, to be prudent, to be ready, because they're going to be in his service, they're going to wait for the bridegroom to come. In my reading, I need help here. I don't see him switching to the end of time, Christ coming as of yet. That is still talking about the days before him coming to judgment. And if he's talking to the Christians, in that time period, or if he's talking to the apostles, because he's strictly, the apostles are only one on the Mount of Olives at this time. And so, 24:1. And so, I don't know, I've struggled with this before. And so maybe,
Now, 24:1 and 24:3 says, his disciples came to him privately saying, tell us when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age. So, are you thinking that he's talking to the apostles here?
I don't see a crowd yet. I see him still in his discourse with them on the Mount of Olives. Then when it gets to 25:31, it's then when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him. And he sits on his glorious throne. All the nations together. And then he'll separate the sheep from the goats. I, 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 in my judgment, I think it switches to the state judgment. I could be wrong, but to me, the faithfulness and sensible slave and the Lord God, the apostles, that are going to do his work and his mission that he's going to give them.
I don't know either on that, Linda. I can't say one or the other, but I do know this is a principle. It is just the apostle. He taught this principle to them. And so we can certainly apply that to us. We better be ready because God, if Jesus tells us, nobody knows when he's coming. And so we don't have the option to wait. You know, sometimes you're going on a trip and you know you've got a month and then you've got 2 weeks and then you've got 1 week. Okay, this last week I've got to get ready. Mm-hmm. But our life is not that way. So whether or not this is talking to just the apostles about his coming, about, you know, the coming that's about to happen and the things he's going to undergo and he's going to leave them and all that, I don't know. But I do know that I can still take this principle and apply it to myself today. That I better be ready. All the things we said would still apply as far as the principles that we need to do and be ready. But it's a scary thing, you know. We often have got time, and we need to especially stress this on our young people because everybody thinks it's not going to happen to me. And so we better be prepared.
And when he talks about the kingdom of heaven, that's his rule in the hearts of men and women. It's not a it's not a place. It's not an earthly kingdom. It's his rule. And so when the gospel is preached, then to the men and women, like Pat, you know, and I agree, that they accept the gospel. It's like, you know, even then, John the Baptist come to prepare the hearts for the gospel, you know, for Jesus to preach, and then, you know, the apostles are now preaching. So hearts need to be prepared to even accept the gospel, and then after they accept it, not to wax cold, as he talks about. So, you know, the apostles' hearts and even those who they will teach, in my judgment. And, you know, also, even though the wise virgins slept before the bridegroom came, there was one who was going to give the warning. Mm-hmm. They were there and heeded the warning. They were prepared mm-hmm. to heed the warning. And so we, if we're going to put it in us, in our hearts, we better be prepared to heed the warning of the teaching, because I can be wrong. I can go to sleep on some stuff, you know, and so I better be prepared and be prepared then to go forward and listen to that with the right kind of heart.
You know, I mentioned this before, but one of his first parables was about the heart that you're talking about. The parables of the soul has to do with what kind of heart do we have? What kind of heart are we going to continue to have and prepare our heart with the scripture? Pat touched on this, but one of the things I had was, what about the people that think they're prepared and they're not? So, and you were talking about warnings. Jesus gives us all kinds of warnings, and the Apostle Paul and the other apostles, that we need to heed all throughout the scripture.
You know, I don't think we, to me, I can't take every little thing in this parable and try to make something out of it, like sharing the oil. I, you know, give me some of yours, and no, I'm not going to give you some of mine, you know, that kind of thing. I think that's just part of the story. Maybe Jesus is saying, you can't be prepared for somebody else, or, you know, their preparedness won't help you. You
right.
need to be prepared. I can't go beyond that, you know.
Look also, you were talking about chapter 24, look also at verse 50. The master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour that he is not aware of it. This is another verse that makes the point. We don't know. We have to be ready. Look at verse 36. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Look at verse 42. Watch, therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. And then, I think you talked about 44, didn't you? Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Look at Mark 13. This is also a passage talking about no one knows the day or the hour. What I see in the Gospels is Jesus talked about this a lot towards the end. Elizabeth, would you read verse 32 through 37?
But of that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. Take heed, keep on the alert, for you do not know when the appointed time will come. It is like a man awake in a dream, who upon leaving his house, putting his slaves in charge, assigning to each one his task, also commanded the doorkeeper to stay on the alert. Therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, whether in the evening, at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or in the morning, in case he should come suddenly and find you asleep. What I say to you, I say to all, be on the alert.
So in verse 34 through 36, we have the parable of the master of the house. And as we read, the point here that I see is that he was saying the master could come back at any time. Nobody knew when he was coming back. So all the servants needed to be vigilant and watchful.
Center verse 37 in that reiterates, even if it is to the apostles, it's to all. It's to everybody. So we learn the same lesson, whether or not what we read over in Matthew. And this here is sort of the same account, I think, up in the first part of the chapter. Verse 3, and they were sitting on the Mount of Olives. So I'm just making the same incident that we're reading, or same time frame that we're reading.
Yes.
But all of those things he told them about being ready and preparing and being alert, watch all. Okay.
In this reading, you know, verse 30, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. The boss there tells when these things are going to happen, the boss was said. But it also applies to the kingdom of heaven, and we can learn from that that no one knew he's going to come to judgment. But and it's true today, no one knows when the Lord is going to come back to judgment. And so we need to be like more.
One thing I forgot to mention in Matthew 24 where we were looking at that, he uses the example of Noah. Talking about when Noah built the ark and Noah preached, and nobody listened outside of his family. And nobody knew when the flood was coming. They didn't even believe a flood was coming. But it came, so he uses that example of something coming totally unexpected and nobody knew when it was. Anything else? Okay, next week we'll study lesson eight, I mean, 2 weeks, I'll study lesson eight.